his body torn apart. His veins and arteries had run dry as the last soldier pierced his side. Jesus' limp body was taken down from the cross and laid in Joseph's tomb. The followers of Jesus were sad and scared alike. And the next hours would be traumatic for everyone. Somehow, his followers were thinking that Jesus would work a miracle and not die. His closest friends watched as they first wrapped his body and then put it in the grave. And then, as was the custom of the rich, they rolled a boulder into the mouth of the tomb so it could not be tampered. And a great weariness spread over the people who had believed in Jesus, thinking that he was indeed the Messiah. And yet there he was. He's in the tomb, King of the Jews, dead. That weariness settled into the souls of Peter and John and Matthew, Levi. And they settled over even his own mother, Mary. It settled over Martha and Mary, and it settled over hundreds of people. It settled this weariness settled over the widow who Jesus raised her son from the dead. This weariness settled over them. Perhaps some of you know what I'm talking about. This weariness, it's a weariness being stressed over time beyond measure. It's becoming emotionally exhausted and you just couldn't take it anymore. And maybe you know what we're talking about. A few women got some spices and anointed his body quickly before they wrapped him in his grave clothes. And sort of like swaddling clothes, he came in, swaddled, and he would leave the same way. Judas found a tree and hung himself. Peter wept. John took Mary, Jesus' mother, into his care. The rest didn't know what to do. They were still so young. Understand, all of these people were under 30 years old. Much of their adult lives they had spent following Jesus Christ day in, day out for 3 years. They watched and they participated in the miracles that Jesus did. They heard the first words that the deaf man uttered after he'd been healed. They saw the joy of the blind man who sees his first scene. They watched a grateful mother whose sorrow was turned to joy as her son got out of the casket. They observed the wounds of the disease that were healed, and they watched as the lepers jumped for joy. They were there when the demoniac left the tombs, got closed, and came back in his right mind. These were the guys that collected 12 baskets of leftovers out of 5 loaves and 2 little fish. They saw the man who had never walked leave his bed after 38 years. Not only to walk, but to run. Time and time again, Jesus' word or his touch did the work. Finally, the most unheard thing of all took place. His friend Lazarus had died. And now he had laid in the grave. It would be the fourth day he was dead. And Jesus shows up at that time too late to help. Lazarus was too wrapped in swaddling grave clothes. Jesus meets Mary and Martha, his sisters, and he tells them, "I got a feeling everything's going to be all right." Martha, to his face, said, "How can you say that? If you had been here in time, but you're too late." Jesus just said, "Listen, honey, I'm the resurrection and the life. Accept except she's now staring at a tomb with the man who said that in it. Jesus' life ended like everybody else's. He took his last breath, and now he's in the grave. How could God let this happen? Most of the Jewish leadership were relieved because the threat to their power was now dead. They even put soldiers in front of it to make sure that he stayed deaf. Death. Dead. The Jewish leaders knew that his followers would disappear rather quickly, and they could go back to their old spiritual tyranny without anybody opposing them. Rome didn't care much either way. At least there wasn't a riot that they would have to squash. Jerusalem was filled with all these different emotions, and the Sabbath had now come and was gone. There was only one fella who was a friend of Jesus that didn't cry, he didn't weep, and he didn't wail. He seemed content. He sat in his house. He ate like he normally did. His sisters worried and attended to the business. But this guy said, no, it's going to be okay. Don't worry. He told you that he was the resurrection and life. But I experienced it. Lazarus said, it's real to me. I don't care how long he's in that tomb. I know who the master is. And he told his sisters, death will not be able to hold him. I guarantee it. I've been where he is, and he's Lord over there too. So early on Sunday morning, the ladies headed out, thinking that they would do a more proper embalming, worried about how that great boulder would be moved. As I read that, I think, funny that they couldn't find some men to come with them. And all those, there were reports that the soldiers were there guarding the tomb against anyone who would come and even approach it. They didn't know what was about to happen. I want Brother Jamie to come and sing a song at this time.
Saying, Mama, I don't understand. I remember the look of love in his eyes that I saw by the touch of his hand. At the King of all ages, the giver of life, for a moment lie silent and still. But a power sent from heaven comes breaking the night, and death must bow to his will. Then a stone moves, the earth shakes, birds start singing, the sun shines, the earth warms, new life it's bringing, and a little boy stops crying, and a mother is smiling, for death could not hold their king. Then a stone moves, the earth shakes, the bird starts singing, the sun shines, the earth warms, for new life is bringing, and a little boy stops crying, and a mother is smiling, for death.
Hallelujah.
Could not hold their king. No, death could not hold their king.
Death cannot hold the king.
And a stone moves, and the earth shakes.
The earth shakes.
And the birds start singing. You know the sun shines.
The sun shines.
The earth warms.
The earth warms.
For new life is bringing. And a little boy starts crying. And his mother is smiling. For death could not hold their king.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 28 and verse 1. For death could not hold their king. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And just as Jamie sang it, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. It came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is not here. If an angel ever told the truth, he told it that day. He is not here, for he is risen. just as he said. He said, I come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre in fear, with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. I don't know how many times Jesus, during the course of his ministry here, had to use that phrase, be not afraid. But I am going to tell you, 2024 years later, Jesus is still telling us, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee and there they shall see me. Thank you, guys. Appreciate your help. There it is, folks. History. The grave which holds the dead is defeated. I said the grave which holds the dead is defeated. Jesus died on the cross, shed his precious blood, sprinkled that blood upon the mercy seat in the throne room of the Father, so that those that would truly believe may have their sins blotted out. As if they never existed, the sin ever existed. No exceptions. I said no exceptions to that. For where sin abounds, God's grace doth more abound. When Jesus was on that cross and declared, it is finished, I can't tell you the number of times that I've preached on that, taught on that, talked about it. It is finished. But in that phrase, it's huge. And I mean it's huge. And I can't tell you how the Lord gives us fresh revelation. But I was walking this week listening to the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir as I walked. This phrase, it is finished, came to me. And the Lord showed me. I'm sure you've seen it before, but I'm just a little dense. So I struggle some. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not dense. I'm porous. It is finished. And I've often preached, listen, it's finished. He sprinkled the blood, all of that. But what was, I'll tell you the other thing that was finished. The old covenant was finished. The covenant of law and death was finished. It had completed its course. I've told any number of times, the great mission of Jesus was to introduce the world to a new covenant, a new agreement between God and man. And now the old had faded away and the new had come. As Jesus breathes his last and he says it is finished, a new agreement between man and God had come into place in force. And it is the covenant of Christ's blood. It's not a covenant sealed by the blood of bulls or goats or sheep. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that has sealed this covenant, or puts it in force. And the old is finished, my friends. Don't go back and try to get in the old way. The door's locked. You got to come in the new way. Life, hear me for just a couple minutes this morning. Life overtook death at his resurrection, so that he might provide life abundantly for all of those that truly believe. Regardless of where you come from, regardless of what language you speak, regardless of what your family is or was, it doesn't matter. If you have come, he has opened his arms to you so that you might have abundant life. You remember the Old Testament story of a man from Israel by the name of Jonah.
And I preached on this a few weeks ago. Jesus said, you guys are looking for a sign. The only sign I'll give you is this. Go study what happened to Jonah. And Jonah, his disobedience and rebellion found himself in the belly of a great big fish in a deep sea. And he was in that fish for 3 days. I don't know how that was accomplished. I just know that it was accomplished. But at the end of those 3 days, that big old fish swam up into the shallows. And he got near the beach and he coughed out Jonah onto the beach. Jesus said, look for that sign again. That rock tomb would hold the giver of life. It could, the third day, early on that morning, on what we call Sunday morning, early on that morning, death could not hold him any longer, and that grave had to cough Jesus out. And out he came with victory. Listen to me, victory over the grave. Let me tell you something. Jonah never got in the belly of a great fish again. And Jesus has never gone back to the grave again. He's alive forevermore. Dear friends, I have studied the Bible since I was a child. And I am serious about this. There wasn't a time in my life when I didn't study the Bible. I've studied it. And the more deeper I get into it, the deeper it gets. The more you think you've reached the bottom of the well, the more you understand that you're nowhere near the bottom of the well. But what Jesus did on that day by walking out of that grave, that the angel rolled that stone away, he overturned what had plagued mankind since Adam and Eve. Since Adam and Eve's disobedience, since their sin, we have been under the plague that when we breathe our last, death would take hold of us and we'd be held by the grave. Since Adam and Eve, that's a lot of generations, folks. Jesus overturned it all. Come on, somebody say amen so I can move on. I'm so thankful that the story doesn't end in what we call the first century A.D. I'm so glad the story doesn't end with Peter and James and John. I'm so glad that the story doesn't end with Mary, his mother, or even Saul, who became Paul. I'm so glad the story doesn't end in the second century, in the third century. I'm glad the story doesn't end in the 10th century or the 12th century. I'm glad the story doesn't end in the 1600s, in the 1700s. I'm glad the story didn't end in the 1900s. I'm glad that in the 21st century, the story goes on. Jesus has still defeated death, and Jesus is, by His Holy Spirit, is here to give abundant life to anybody who needs it. There was a young man, he left, and it was more like he escaped Haiti. He escaped Haiti, and he found himself in the United States of America in a little place called Brooklyn, New York City. Anybody been to Brooklyn? Anybody want to go back? Anyway, it's not the easiest place to live. And he had some very difficult times adjusting to America and their ways, and he didn't have the language down. It was extremely, extremely frustrating to him, and he knew he was a sinner. And he said, I've got to get my life right. So he went to church, and he went to church, and they couldn't help him in this one church. And he went to another church, and they couldn't help him in that church. And he said, well, I guess God's not for me. This life is not for me. I'll tell you what, I'm not going back to Haiti. And I'm sick of living in New York City. Nobody likes me. Nobody cares about me. My life is not worth living. And so he got the shotgun out of his closet. He rigged that shotgun up so it was facing right here underneath his chin. And he was going to end his life. As he prepared himself to do this, it's not easy to get a shotgun pointed at yourself. He had to rig it up. And as he's rigging it up, he said, well, I don't want to bother the neighbors, and so I'll turn the television on and turn it up nice and loud so maybe they won't hear the shotgun blast. And as he prepared for that, who knows? He began to scan the channels. He didn't know where to stop, and he just put the remote down. He had quit scanning channels. He put the remote down, and he went, and he got, he had it rigged up, so he had the shotgun facing him. So all he had to do is push his foot down, and that would depress the trigger, and a shotgun blast would end his life. But suddenly on the television screen, there was a man there with a microphone in his hand, and he was preaching the gospel, and he stopped in the middle of his sermon, pointed the finger at the camera, which meant it was pointing the finger at this man, and he said, "Stop what you're doing and put the gun down." I doubt at that time it was even a live broadcast. And this young man only heard it through the back part of his mind. It didn't really register. He heard somebody say, "Put the gun down," but he said, he shook it off. And he once again got ready to depress the trigger. And the man on the television pointed his finger through the camera again and said, "I said, put the gun down. God has purpose for your life, and He wants to turn your life around." That got his attention. He slowly took his foot off the trigger part, put that shotgun down, got out of his chair, and knelt there in his living room and followed this man's instructions that said how to give your life to Jesus Christ. When Talis Baptiste got up off of his floor, he was a new man. God had made a new man. God put His word in his mind. He put His word in his heart. And Talis began to preach the gospel to anybody who would listen to him. And Talis Baptiste is still preaching the gospel to anybody who will listen to him many, many, many years later. God wants to give us abundant life through Jesus Christ. That's why He raised Him from the dead. There was a young couple that lived for themselves, just trying to get ahead. And if you thought Brooklyn is bad, think about Cleveland. Ron and Chris were trying to get through life. There were some people that prayed for them, and they wanted them to come and change their lives. Chris had a difficult upbringing and got into witchcraft and all of that. And yet God, listen to me, God did not give up. One day Ron and Chris, just to appease somebody who kept bugging them, was it an in-law? Yes, Chris's biological mother. "You need to go to church. You need to go to church. You need to go." Ron said, "Let's go just to shut her up." I understand, Ron. And yet when they got there, the Spirit of the Lord was there and began to grip their hearts. And they both went down to that old-fashioned altar and gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Obviously, they're still here serving the Lord. Glory to God. Because Jesus died and rose again to give us abundant life. I have a soft part in my heart for preacher's kids. Because preacher's kids can be some of the worst people on the planet. And this lady's a preacher's kid. And she, like her brothers and sisters, fell away from the Lord. After that influence waned, she fell away from the Lord and just lived life as it came. She was never happy with her life, but she kept going down that road. But one day, Marta Hernandez said, "I've had enough of this old life. It's time for me to get back to Jesus." This is after years and years of being backslid. Years and years of it. She said, "God, if you'll have me, I'll come back." And Marta's back there today. Hallelujah. Jesus takes longtime backsliders back too, because He still wants to give them abundant life. If I had time, I'd tell you the various stories of different ones that you're sitting next to today. None of us here are perfect or even good on our own. But let me tell you something. Jesus came out of that grave to give us abundant life. He didn't come out of the grave just to make a show or a one-time miracle. He came out to give us abundant, you and me, abundant life. It's real. It's real. It's real for me. It's real for these people. I could give you stories on into the evening of the miracles that you're sitting next to. It's not about us. It's about Him and His love for us. And very soon, and this is sober, and very soon, the scene in the garden where the tomb opened up and Jesus came out and the angel is sitting on the rock over there by it. That scene, if you listen carefully, will be repeated all over the world. God will send His angels with a shout. And the graves will have to spit out the bodies that are in them. The sea and the depths of the sea, all over the sea will have to give up the dead that are in them. The urns, perhaps some sitting on your mantle, will have to be toppled over and the bodies will have to come out. Coffins will be blown open, including the cement. You know, when they put you in the ground, you don't just put the casket in the ground, you put it into a cement vault. Well, let me tell you, some cement vaults are going to get blown open, and those sealed coffins will have to come up, and the angels will be standing by there as bodies come out of the graves. And our faith will become sight. I said our faith will become sight. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 says it like this. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. All right, if you want to sit there like a bump on a log, you just go right ahead. But I'm going to read this scripture until it gets through you. And I don't care. I don't care. I have the ham at home on very low heat. I can stay a long time. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Let me describe something to you. When a person who knows Jesus Christ passes from this life, their body becomes like everybody else's body. It begins to stiffen up. Rigor mortis sets in. All of those kind of things that happen. The body begins to decay and all of that, wherever you put it, in an urn, in a grave, wherever it is, it begins to decay and go back. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes, all that kind of thing. It all happens the same way. The spirit of that person goes to the Lord which gave it, okay? Someone who does not know the Lord does not have that privilege. They go to Guyana, Sheol, or hell, a holding place of the grave. The grave is not totally defeated. It's only defeated for those that believe in Jesus. The grave is still strong for those that don't believe in Him. But someday, when Jesus returns in the clouds, listen to me, the spirit of that man or woman will be reunited with their mortal bodies, with the body that was decayed. A supernatural, wonderful miracle will take place, and your spirit body will go into your resurrection body. Hallelujah. It's the body that Jesus had who walked out of that tomb. It's that body. Read about what Jesus did after His resurrection, and you'll find out about your eternal It becomes immortal, but this old body of yours becomes an eternal thing, filled with glory, filled with honor, filled with power of God Himself. Hallelujah. And we will join Jesus in glory with those bodies. Hallelujah. You do not have to believe me today. You could think I'm full of baloney. You could say, well, I'll live my life. I have a private deal with God. And so I assure you, you do not have a private deal with God. You either believe in Jesus and trust in Him or you don't. Either you're going to do it your way, you're going to do it His way. Your way leads to death. His way leads to life. Tim, if you'd return. Is everything right between you and the Savior? Have you really come to Him? And I mean with everything. He gave up everything for you. Have you really come to Him with everything? You might look pretty. You might have your good clothes on today. But on inside, you know there's some dark places. Jesus today, March 31st, 2024, He is not waiting to reject you, but He is waiting for you to come to Him that He might receive you unto Himself. He's like the father that waited at the end of the driveway for his lost son. And he had been gone not weeks, not months, but years. He had been gone. And yet that father on a daily basis would go and see if his son was returned. This is what the Lord Jesus is doing. He's wondering when you're going to get up from where you are and make the decision like Talis made it, like Ron and Chris made it, like Marta made it, and say, listen, I can't live like this anymore. I'm ready to have Jesus be the captain of my soul. I can only tell you, I don't know, my vocabulary is not big enough, but I can only tell you that the Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that defeated death, is waiting on you today. He doesn't want you to go through this life one more 24-hour day. He doesn't want you to go through it without Him. He wants you to give Him everything. Hallelujah. And He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. He'll pick you up no matter how far you've descended into the terrible gutters of this world. I don't care if you're a drug addict, you're an alcoholic. I don't care if you're a pervert of the perverts. It doesn't matter to Jesus. He's still waiting at the end of the driveway. And He said, son or daughter, if you'll come, I'll receive you. I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed our time this morning together. But now comes the battle. The gloves off, punching battle between the enemy and your soul. Because the enemy right now is telling you in your mind, blow this guy off. He really doesn't know my situation. How could he possibly know that it would work for me? I've tried it before and it didn't work for me. Why should I try it again? That's everything the enemy is telling you. And he's telling you, just wait for the benediction, because it's coming. And you can go eat dinner. And someone will be happy with you because you went to church with them. But I'm telling you, there's another side to this. The Spirit of the living God is bothering you. He's bothering you right now as I'm speaking. He's showing you that you've come up short in your own strength. He's telling you that you've come up short in your own intellect. And it's your time today, Easter Sunday morning, 2024, to get right. He's telling you it's time to leave the old life and put on the new. He's waiting for you to say, it is finished. I'm finished with the old and I'm going to walk in the new. Sir, ma'am, the old has left you empty. But the promise is sure. The promise is real that the Lord will fill your life and He will give you joy unspeakable. He will give you a peace that passes understanding. Now you don't have to figure your problems out for yourself. You have someone that will help you figure them out. You'll never be hopeless again. You'll never be helpless again. For the Master has walked out of the tomb and He lives
to bring us victory. Would you bow your heads? I do not know the spiritual state of people in this room. Pretty much I know about me. But my friends, I have to be faithful to Jesus. He didn't walk out of that tomb in order to just bless a handful of people. He walked out of that tomb so today you could get right with Him. And as we sang it the best we could, He washed my sins away. He is here by His Holy Spirit to wash your sins away. I don't care if you knew Jesus when you were a younger person, but you're not walking with Him now. It doesn't matter if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've never really heard what He's done for you. But I open the door of invitation to you this morning. Come to Jesus. He has what you need. Jesus died publicly. He was executed publicly on a hill just outside of Jerusalem. The entire city could look over the walls and see Him there. You do not have to be embarrassed nor ashamed when you come to Jesus. You're making the smartest choice of your life. And so today, if you say, I'm finished with the old, I need to walk in the new, I want you to get out of your chair and I want you to come to this altar. I want to pray with you and for you. I don't get paid by how many people come to the altar, so it's not a big deal for me. But it's an eternal thing for you, whether you're going to decide to serve Jesus. And I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes. I'm not going to say anything more. I'm opening the altars to whomever needs to come. Maybe you've almost given your life to the Lord before, but you need to do it again. You need to come again. You need to get everything out of the way and come to Jesus. If you see someone up here that you know, just go and put your hand on them and pray with them if you would. Come on, don't be stubborn. I know you've said no before. I know you've resisted it before. I know that you know how to do that. But there's such great blessing in giving in, in yielding to the Spirit of God who is drawing you to Jesus. Don't wait. I plead with you, don't wait another day. You may not have tomorrow. I pray for every person in this room that when the trumpet sounds, you return in the clouds, that not one person within the sound of my voice would miss it. That if we should pass before you come again, that our grave would open up. Or should we hear the trumpet sound while we're still going about our daily chores, that we would leave wherever we are and head to glory. Holy Spirit, could this be more than just another Easter service? Could this be a watermark day, a watershed day, where we say we're going to serve Jesus with everything that's within us? That every sin is washed away. There's no other sin left because I've confessed it all to the Lord and He has received me fully and completely. And I thank You for it, Lord Jesus. Touch every heart in this place. Do not let the enemy be able to block the Spirit of the Lord. May every stronghold fall, and may the Lord have His way.